You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news, analysis, and everything else from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. I am your host, Justin McGuire. Guys, as I record this, the Orioles are coming off a 2-1 loss to the Indians in Game 4 of their series against the Tribe. They lost 3 out of 4 to Cleveland, and now find themselves 6-17 on the season. There's not a whole lot positive to take out of this series, although we did get a nice pitching performance from Kevin Gausman in Game 4. Unfortunately, though, the offense continues to sputter, and the season is rapidly getting out of control. It's not even May 1st yet, and things are looking bleak for the Orioles. Frankly, I'm running out of ways to say that this season is an utter disaster. And guys, you know, we're getting close to the point where we're going to be talking about the inevitable sell-off. Manny Machado, Adam Jones, Brad Brock, Zach Britton, all these guys could be on the trading block, plus guys like Jonathan Scope and maybe some others. With that in mind, today our guest is Will Leach. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Leach. He's the founder of Deadspin and the author of several books. He's a contributing editor to New York Magazine, and he hosts SI's The Will Leach Show. For our purposes, though, the most important thing to know about him is that he's a national correspondent for MLB. We'll get to that interview in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Will Leach. A couple of weeks ago, Will wrote an article for MLB.com in which he talked about the Orioles and whether it's time for them to rebuild now. It's called O's Roster Dilemma Presents Fascinating Case. And the subhead is, time could be right for Baltimore to trade some of its stars. I was interested when I saw that headline, and I was particularly interested, when I saw your tweet about that, which said, the Orioles should probably just pack it in now, right? And that was 2 weeks ago. And if anything, the Orioles have just gotten worse since then. So I guess just I'll put the question to you as a national baseball observer and not an Orioles-specific person like I usually talk to. Is it time for the Orioles to pack it in?
Well, certainly, you know, I get it. Like, I get that there were a lot of institutional things being set up for this year to make one last run, right? Like, it's, you've had this kind of great run of success under Buck Showalter and with Manny Machado, and each of them are coming up to a contract at the end of this year. And you have an organization that has generally proven itself resistant to the kind of big turnover. So it made a certain amount of sense. If you didn't trade Machado a year ago, like you probably should have, or a year and a half ago, like you probably should have, everybody get the gang back together for one last run. You know, maybe Adam Jones has a run in. Maybe Chris Davis wakes up. Maybe Tim Beckham is this nice pickup you got last year. Maybe that you can find some value, and maybe the rotation can be cobbled together into something. It was a gambit. That's probably fair to say. It was a risk, but I can understand if you didn't make the trades already, giving yourself a little bit of a moment to be like, okay, let's see what happens. That clearly has not worked out well, to say the very least. If you look at them, never minding the standings, which I think as we speak, the Orioles are 11 and a half games out of first, which is really difficult to do. I keep forgetting that teams have actually played 11 and a half games.
Right.
So if you look at like Baseball Prospectus playoff odds, they're at 0.5% to make the playoffs. That is lower than every team in baseball other than the Royals, the Marlins, and the Reds. That's really bad. That's worse than the Padres. So clearly the Orioles, the time is probably past due for them to make the trades and start the process that, frankly, most teams, I've fallen, not every team in baseball, has kind of accepted as part of the boom and bust process. You have to tear down to build back up. The Orioles probably should have done it earlier, but I understand wanting to make one run at this year. The problem is this year could not have possibly started off worse than it had, and conveniently enough, they have the most desirable star that anyone's going to want, Manny Machado, who is knocking the cover off the ball right now. So to me, that is, I understand the organizational resistance because you've come this far, and it's hard. It's hard to tear the Band-Aid off and say, okay, it's it. It's over. But man, it seems like if there's ever a time to do it, it's probably now.
Yeah, and that raises an interesting question. This is a discussion I saw a little bit on Twitter yesterday among some Orioles people. You mentioned Manny Machado's having
An outstanding year, obviously. He's showing himself to be the elite player that everyone believes he is. He didn't show that last year, particularly in the first half. But he's playing up to his reputation at this point. I think that's safe to say. It raises the question, though. Typically, you know, these trade deadline deals are done in July, you know, around the actual trade deadline after the All-Star break, sometimes before, but usually, you know, we're getting into late June, July before any serious moves start getting made. Given that the Orioles are in such dire straits right now in terms of, like you said, it's, you know, less than 1% chance of them making the playoffs. Realistically, this team isn't going anywhere. I mean, they're already out of contention for the division, and even the wild card would be a complete stretch at this point. Do you think there's any chance? Do you think there's any reason for them to try to move Machado early? Maybe they get a little more back for him if a team's going to get, you know, 5 months of him instead of three or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem is, you know, remember that little, we all know that stretch during the offseason where the Orioles are listening to bids on Machado. And then very quickly after that, every team in baseball said, yeah, they want like way too much. So you may have already missed the opportunity to get the maximum what you could get out of this. But I do understand the idea of, okay, wait till teams get desperate. Like, wait till teams really realize, oh, wow, I really want a Manny Machado. That's the thing that's pushing me across the finish line. That's the thing that pushes me into a playoff chase. Well, if you look at the kind of the way baseball is right now and the way it's already early on kind of shaping up, the American League is mostly kind of shaping up the way that we thought it would, right? Boston, like, sure, the Yankees have been down a little bit. Toronto's been up a little bit. But Cleveland's been really good. Houston's been really good. The Angels are a little bit better. Seattle's a little bit better. But on the whole, that's the way it's kind of landed the way I thought it would. The National League, however, you've got Philadelphia, who's 14-7. You've got Atlanta, who's a 4 games over .500. You've got Milwaukee, who's 5 games over .500. You've got Arizona tearing it up right now. You've got a major competitive situation in the National League. The point where is a playoff spot, which is very important, to have Manny Machado for 5 months rather than 2 months is really, really valuable, particularly when we see, you know, one of the issues that people might have had trading for Machado in the offseason was he was just coming off this kind of rough year. Who knows what you're going to get out of him? I think we clearly see that he has come full bore to bear for this season and is a very valuable guy. Even if you're not sure about signing him for the contract he's going to want, clearly in 2018, that's a guy that can make a huge difference and can make an even bigger difference in 5 months over than two. And I know that a lot of times the market, people have this idea the market doesn't really get going until people feel like they know where they are or they get really desperate. But you mean to tell me the Orioles right now, people can see the landscape this is all going, and they can see the Orioles are in trouble, and they can see, okay, these teams are really good. If we're going to compete at this level, look at a team like, frankly, the St. Louis Cardinals. That's a team who potentially would have a spot for Machado. They looked into him in the offseason. Now they're realizing, yep, the Brewers are for real. The Cubs are a little wobbly, can maybe be had. The thing that pushes us over the top is getting this sort of guy. If the Orioles open up the market, for me, I think if they announce, or at least let it be known through back channels that Machado is open, they're open for business on Machado, a lot of teams are going to be in on that, and they're going to be particularly in on it knowing they're going to get him for a lot longer than they would get for just the 2 months of the trade deadline. So the earlier the Orioles kind of accept this is not happening and put Machado on the market, then they can accept what I think a lot of Orioles fans know needs to happen and be able to start the process and get the best they can for Machado while they can. Should they have done it 2 years ago? Yeah, they probably should, but they didn't. So here we are now.
We've had at least last trade deadline, and we had the offseason, and I would argue even the, you know, the offseason before that, where it would have made sense for them to move Machado, and you know they didn't. They keep putting it off. But at this point, like you said, you know, making him available now, it's almost like trading him in the offseason, right? I mean, you're getting almost a full year out of him if you trade him now or soon. And so I would think maybe they'd get a little more of a return for that than they would at the deadline. On the other hand, if a team is really desperate at the deadline, maybe you get a little more. So it's a hard thing to calculate. But besides Machado, there's obviously some other players who could be at play here. And some of them are kind of interesting. We know Zach Britton is supposed to be back, hopefully, in late May. So that would, you know, presumably give him, you know, 6 weeks to 8 weeks maybe to show off what he's capable of doing. And, you know, he might have some trade value. Now, Adam Jones and Brad Brock are both free agents. I don't know how much value either of them has at this point. Neither of them has been playing well at all this year. So to me, the interesting question comes down to other guys who maybe aren't free agents at the end of this year, but maybe would have some more value because of that. One name that's come up a lot is Jonathan Scope, who I think is a free agent at the end of the 2019 season, and he might have some value. And the other one that I've seen people talking about, which seems crazy, but maybe it isn't if you look at the big picture, and that's Dylan Bundy. Do you think it would make any sense for the Orioles to shop either Scope or Bundy at this point?
Scope, I can see. Bundy, you've got control over him for so long, and he's finally just kind of coming into the moment. I don't necessarily think, listen, the Astros kind of famously just traded everyone and were willing to send everybody off, but they also were willing to have just no fans come to their games for like 5 years. I think it is demoralizing enough for what kind of Orioles fans have had to go through this year and the last couple of years to trade Dylan Bundy right when he's figuring out feels cruel. Like it feels a little mean. I get it. You could probably maximize your return for him, but like what return are you maximizing? What you're hoping for from any return you would get for him would be a really great starter for the next two or three years and young that you can build around. I would actually be more up for seeing them play someone like Kastner. Like Kastner makes a certain amount of sense. You know, he's not going to get a ton for him, but like a lot of those guys, Machado feels like a guy you can trade now. Everybody else on here, they feel like your trade deadline guys. They feel like a team has an injury or they realize that they need another rotation guy. Guys like that become really valuable. Look at what, like, imagine if you get Britton going. People right now in May and in April and May, they can talk themselves into their bullpen. Come July, there is no kidding yourself about your bullpen. You know that you need something if you need something. And we've seen that in some of the trades. Like in the way that Machado, it seems like you get more for Machado now than you could in July. That may be the opposite for some of these other guys. The idea of those bullpen pieces, the idea of a Scope, or the idea of even a Kastner. Bundy, that feels... I understand everyone wants to blow everything up right now, and I get it. It's very frustrating. Bundy feels like someone that you've got to let him ride until you're at least like really blown away by a deal. And that doesn't feel like a mid-season thing. That feels like an off-season thing. Once he's put in a great season, then you can talk about that. But for now, I feel like you've got to trade. Those are deadline guys. Those are helpful pieces. Those bullpen pieces, you can totally get a ton for those pieces come July in a way that you might not get at this part of the season. But I think, frankly, though, once you trade Machado, otherwise, Bundy may be accepted. Again, if you're blown away by a deal, maybe. But otherwise, I think it's kind of everything must go or everything that you can get out of there. I don't think anyone's trading for Chris Davis. Sorry. But I do think anything you can send out, you've kind of got to do it. And even people will dream on a Tim Beckham. Like, clearly, he was nice at the end of last year. He's got off to a rough start this year. But clearly, there's clear talent there that people have seen value in that. Even maybe a Trey Mancini down the line. Like, he's going to be a little bit too old. The Orioles are in the situation where they need to start looking, okay, who is on the next team that contends for a division championship? And the way the Yankees are going, the way that the Red Sox are going, and even the way that the Blue Jays are kind of hanging on a little bit, it's gonna be a while. You need a full over reconstruction to make this happen. And if you're someone that's not on that team, I think they've got to be traded. To me, Bundy is someone that could conceivably be on that team. I don't know if there's anyone else in the roster that would be.
Yeah, it's really sad to think about it. You know, Mancini, I think this guy has become a fan favorite in the, you know, two short years he's been there. In no small part because he's actually one of the few players who's performing this year. That's part of it. But yeah, that would be. I mean, you know, all these things are psychologically tough for fans. I mean, I think people have come to realize that Machado's gone one way or another. So that would, you know, it's not as big a blow as it would have been. But, you know, Bundy, that would be a tough one for fans to swallow. And Mancini, I think, not as much, but that would be another tough one to swallow, even though, like you say, it might make some sense when you look at the big picture. Just looking at the big picture, though, I want to ask you about this real quickly. We know this, that this team is going to be very different next year, not just on the field, but we know Buck Showalter's contract is up. We know Dan Duquette's contract is up. And I've had this discussion with numerous guests. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, but I think the general feeling is that Duquette's gone one way or another, and that Showalter maybe, may not be. Nobody's really sure, but it certainly would be possible that he'd be gone. What is your feeling? Do you think this is an entirely new leadership group for the Orioles next year, or what do you think is going to happen?
I think it should be. I think Duquette I think Duquette has shown some value in finding talent on the edges, right? He's found guys like Beckham, and he's found he can fill out a roster. He squeezed something out of the lower parts of your roster spots. The problem is that's not really the skill that you want in your next GM. You want someone that's going to build. Like, you want something. But regardless, and listen, I'm sure there's a lot of Orioles fans listening being like, yeah, you're overpraising Duquette. And maybe that's true. But either way, we can all agree on the idea that that's not the guy that necessarily wants starting completely over. And if I'm Buck Showalter, I mean, but I know everyone's going to think about that wild card game forever, but Buck Showalter has been an unalloyed good for the Baltimore Orioles, and he's a guy that wants to win. And this is not a team that's going to win for the next few years. I think that he would want to go somewhere where he'd have that opportunity, because, you know, he's shown to be the kind of manager who I think would fit for a lot of teams right now. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see them both gone. And that's okay. That's honestly okay. If you find the right person, it doesn't really matter who the next manager is, frankly. I mean, the poor Bo Porter, who got stuck with putting that together, that Astro, managing the Astros team that was terrible for 4 or 5 years until they finally got good and then got rid of him. So that's basically what you're looking for from your next manager. What you need is you need one of these young, hungry guys. Look at what David Stearns in Milwaukee. This was a young one of those young Turks stat guys who was an assistant for years and young and hungry, and he's turned that Brewers team around faster than I think he even expected. You want someone like that who will come in and start this thing over and really like reconstruct it in the way. Is the ownership situation in a position where they feel comfortable letting somebody do that? Maybe. Is it Brady Anderson? Is Brady Anderson part of this whole thing? I think what you need is someone who understands the reality of the situation and what this is going to mean over the next 4 or 5 years. I know that's particularly hard because the Orioles didn't make a World Series during this run. They did not actually break through. It's like the Royals are going through this right now, but the Royals made it to a couple World Series and won one. Like, it's going to be tough to be a Royals fan for the next 5 years. But if they get really sad, they can go watch the video of their World Series, and it will make them feel better. The Orioles don't necessarily have that luxury, which makes it harder. That does make it harder. It's what the Tigers went through. Because they pushed for so long and never actually got there, it made it harder for them to let go. This franchise needs to let go. They need entirely new leadership. There are tons of talent and tons of really smart people out there that would love to have the opportunity to a team with the fan base that the Orioles have, the team with the potential payroll that the Orioles have, but it will require patience. It will require patience on the part of the fans. It will require patience on the part of the owner, which may be even harder. That is the tough part. And if you can get that, I don't think you need to worry about Duquette or Showalter. Give Showalter a pat on the back and thank you for all that he's done, and let him go try to win a World Series next year. Give yourself that 5-year plan to start seeing improvement. I know 5 years is long. Every year as I get older, I'm 42 years old now. 5 years from now seems a lot longer away than it did when I was 22 and 23. So I get it. I know it's hard, but I feel like that's the only course of action. The Orioles have put it off for a long time. It's probably time to just stop putting it off.
Yeah, my son is 14 now, and I think about, 5 years he'll be in college.
It's a long time. I know.
That seems like an impossibly long time to me, although I know it's not. I know it'll fly by. You touched on something, too, which I think is a little disheartening as a fan, as somebody looking at this team, emotionally. And that's the whole idea of it's been so long since they've won anything, right? They won a division title, a couple of wild cards, that sort of thing. But, I'm old enough to remember the Orioles in the World Series. I'm almost 50. And I remember the 1983 World Series. I remember it well. I have that. But the fans younger than me, anybody who's younger than 45, say, doesn't have any memory of the Orioles ever being in the World Series. And a lot of these people that I interact with on Twitter and I've had as guests on here are really hardcore Orioles fans, but they've never had the pleasure of seeing them in the World Series. And I wonder at what point does that just start killing your fan base? You know what I mean? Just like the people just feel like there's no hope ever. It's kind of a disheartening thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, though I do think that, I mean, ask a Mariners fan. They would love to have some of the success the Orioles have had since 2012. I mean, the Orioles are like every franchise. It's funny. I do this fan base ranking every year. I rank the most tortured fan bases. The Orioles are always very high up there. But it's very funny the number of emails I'll always get every year saying, oh, my team is so much more tortured than that team that you had above mine. And I think there's something about when you love a team so much, it feels like like this thing has been denied you and how painful it is. This is totally true in a lot of cases. I think the Orioles fans have been through obviously a ton. But it is worth noting that, like, this is a team that made it to the Elite Championship Series 3 years ago, had a stretch of 5 years where they won more games than any other team in the American League. Is that sustainable? Obviously not. Look what's happening right now. But I do think that there is value to accepting that, like, you know what? It's the one thing the Orioles have not really done, understandably, because they've been bad for so long, is have that moment where they really have a hard conversation and be like, look what's happening around baseball. Look what the Astros did. Look what the Cubs did. Look at the success that the Phillies are having now, that the Braves are having now. Teams that did this starting over process and it's finally starting to pay off for them. I think that, yes, it is hard. It's hard to have not seen a World Series. But the Mariners have not seen the playoffs. Like, if you were born the last time that the Mariners made the playoffs, you can vote next year. Like, that's a really long time not to even see one playoff game. I agree, a World Series is different and is special. And it's frustrating that the Orioles kind of breakthrough little 5-year stretch never ended in a World Series. It feels like 2014 was the year, right? It feels like that's the year it was supposed to have happened, and unfortunately it didn't. But that said, you can't let that, like, this is what fandom is, right? You root for things. You put a ton of your emotional effort and a lot, and so much of your emotional well-being and so much of your care and so much of your thoughts and so much of your heart into this notion. Well, someday it's going to pay off. Someday it's going to pay off. Right? Right? It has to, right? And maybe it won't. It's the Orioles. It might not. But that's the whole idea of fandom. Like, the whole idea of being a fan is believing that someday it will pay off. If you are an Orioles fan, take the next 5 years to get excited about young players, to watch, to see smart moves being made. There is a certain amount of excitement. I have friends that are diehard Phillies fans that have actually kind of enjoyed watching, like, this piece come together and this piece come together. Brewers are the same way. And so then when they floor it, like the Brewers did this year, or the Phillies did with the signing, with their signings, you see them ready to, it gets exciting. The team becomes yours again, rather than like kind of this desperate, like, we have to sign Chris Davis for 20 years because he's ours sort of thing. And I think if you could accept that, yeah, it's hard. It's hard not to have been in the World Series, but there are different stages to fandom. And yes, it didn't happen. It didn't happen for the Orioles this stretch, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. It can happen to the freaking Cubs. And if it can happen to the Cubs, it can happen to anyone. So I think it's a hard thing to accept, but I feel like most Orioles fans have accepted, nope, we're not winning the World Series this year, and they accept they probably need to make some trades. If they can do that, then you can look to the long term. And even if, because listen, in the long term, we're all dead. I get it. But certainly you can take value in the young players, in seeing these guys build up through the system and watch them become yours down the line. Listen, fandom may not pay off. It may not be worth it. You may never get the breakthrough that you want. But listen, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
All right, well, Will, I'd like to invite you to come back on after the trade deadline and we can assess what they did and didn't do and see what we think about it. How's that sound?
I'd be delighted. Listen, I'm actually a St. Louis Cardinal fan, so we'll discuss. If you want to come on before then, we'll discuss the potential deals for Machado, because I feel like the Cardinals have a lot to offer in there, and that I think could help the Orioles quite a bit.
Yeah, that does seem like a good fit in a lot of ways. And I think we didn't touch on this too much, but the fact that Machado is capable of playing shortstop and third base certainly would seem to increase his value somewhat. I mean, I know
at the very least,
he wants to play shortstop, but in the right situation, I'm sure he would accommodate himself to playing third base the rest of the year.
Give him enough money, he'll play wherever you need him to.
Exactly. All right, Will, thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.